course it is. But there are so many people that refer to Ronnie O'Sullivan as a genius.
It's like Lewis Hamilton, though, isn't it? It's when he was, you know, what, 10 or something, or perhaps even younger, and he got into that go-kart, and people immediately just go, what? And then you hear stories about Premier League footballers, some of the best footballers in the world, and then just from such an early age, you could just look at them and go, wow.
That's very, very special. But it's the brain of Ronnie as well, for me, that goes into this. The man's brain is extraordinary, and it's evidenced in his snooker play.
Now, he's had two autobiographies, I believe, Ronnie O'Sullivan. Five-time world champion. But, of course, his first novel, Framed, is out now in paperback, I should say. And, you know, if you're a fan of the kind of Lock, Stock movies, if you like these kind of really fast-paced gangster movies, if you like a real page-turner of a book that you can get through, it's holiday season, of course, coming up.
Bit of a Lock, Stock kind of...
It's got a vibe about it. It's definitely got that vibe about it. So it starts with this crazy thing that happens to the central character's younger brother, and then it just... from there, and there is something going on which keeps luring you in page after page after page. And look, if you're a fan of 617 pages of Will Self, this may not be a book that you'll naturally gravitate towards, but Framed, which is out in paperback, as I said, is one of those ones you want to be by the pool, you know, when the kids, you've dumped the kids off in the kids club and you actually get some time for yourself on holiday, then give it a listen. Give it a read, I should say. Now, the book is loosely based, I should say, on Ronnie's life. And Ronnie explained to me how it came about.
Yeah, I think everybody's got a story to tell. And if you was to sit down with someone and go through it, you go, you know what, that's a really interesting story. And there's a lot of people out there that would want to read about it, you know. And so, you know, and I suppose, you know, in some ways I've kind of had a kind of... interest in life myself as well, you know, not just with a snooker, but just with, you know, what happened with my mum and my dad and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just, yeah, it's been quite a funny one.
And is it a form of therapy, writing a novel?
I don't really know. I think my therapy is getting up in the morning, going for a run over the forest, and that kind of deals with pretty much all the sort of negativity that could possibly be going on in your mind. I think writing books is something that I really enjoy. I loved doing my two autobiographies, and when the opportunity came to kind of put together a book like this, I kind of jumped at the chance, and you know, it's something that I really love doing. Out of all the things, apart from playing snooker, my most favourite thing I've ever done is being involved in doing the books, and that's the two biographies and the one book called Frame that's already out.
What does it bring you, Ronnie, when you sit there in front of that laptop and start banging out the words?
Well, it's just kind of just putting storylines together and plots and characters, and it's basically just drawing on a lot of the experiences. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I could come up and write a children's book or something, but it's pretty much just writing about my life, the characters that I've come across and the characters that I've met, and just kind of pulling it together and making a story out of it. And obviously I've had help putting it together.
Yeah.
But obviously a lot of the characters and a lot of the plots and a lot of the things that are in Framed have happened in my life. And it's something that, you know, we've kind of been able to play about with and add a few characters and change a few things. And, you know, it's just been more fun than doing the autobiography, because like you say, the autobiography was a bit like digging up the past and kind of having to put the truth out there, if you like. But with Framed, I was able to kind of put truth in there, but play about with the storylines as well.
Because you are, by nature, quite a private individual. So the autobiographies themselves must have been quite a jump for you to put it all out there. But then Framed then must become a lot more of an easier process, because you've already done the really hard stuff.
I think... you're right there in saying that I'm quite private, and I think in one way the one positive thing that sold it for me to do an autobiography was to kind of say, well, this is my chance to put my side of the story across, because I never kind of done stories in the papers or Hello Meg or whatever it was. I'm always just concentrated on playing snooker, but the autobiographies gave me that opportunity to kind of go, well, here you are. You know, you've all been wanting to know. there you go, there's 300 pages there, and it explains it all. Whereas Framed, like I say, was is much more fun and kind of, you know, working on it and putting it together. It's just, and especially at this stage of my life, you know, I'm 41 now, so you tend to not take things too seriously, and it's just about kind of just doing things you enjoy. And, you know, even if Framed wasn't a success, I still would have enjoyed the process of what's doing it, because, like I said, it's something I really enjoy, and you know, I want to do more of it.
You get to 41 and you get into middle age, you think yourself, I'll buy a Harley Davidson, I'll write a novel. I'm glad you wrote a novel. Don't strike me as the kind of bloke who'd look comfortable in a Harley Davidson, if I'm honest.
No, I mean, obviously I don't really I suppose in a way, you know, I'm kind of a bit of a geek in many ways. I'm not interested in going out and being in the public eye so much. I like to play my snooker, I like to just cook, I like to go running with my running club, do a few races and stuff like that. So, you know, they're the things that keep me grounded, and they're the things that I like to keep doing. So, you know, Harley Davidson's certainly something that wouldn't appeal to me.
People are obviously going to make comparisons between you and Frankie, the central character in Framed. Mm. What parts of Frankie are definitely not Ronnie O'Sullivan? Definitely not. Kickboxing.
Well, no, I mean, Frankie doesn't win 5 world titles.
No, that's the obvious ones, yeah.
You know.
But personality-wise?
Personality-wise, Frankie's pretty much like Ronnie, you know, and that was the idea of it, was to kind of build in their relationships, like the one with my dad, the one with my sister, but, you know, happens to be my brother.
Jack, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's just sort of, you know, it's just how, you know, how I've just kind of just been sorting everyone else's problems. They're not problems, but just kind of getting sucked into other people's problems, if you like, and not quite being able to get my own life off the ground. But there's that big loyalty inside you that makes you compelled to do it in a way. So, you know, there's massive similarities between me and Frankie, and that's, you know, I think that's obvious for everyone to see. And for me, that was important to have that character in there as well, you know.
Do you sometimes feel like, if you look back on your life, that you've been the kind of patron saint of lost causes, that you're always out to help someone, that you're always the one that can be relied on?
Well, it comes naturally because, obviously, you know, with my dad, you know...
Loyalty, right?
Loyalty, yeah. I mean, like, I know how much my dad invested in me, time and love as well. And you know, and it was always, you know, it was always done to try and give me the best possible start in life. And, you know, I was 15 when he went away, and I was on my way to becoming, you know, a top snooker player. And I think without his help and his support, that probably would have never happened. And I think without his help and the sports help and support, I would have been a bit like Jack in the book, you know, in and out of trouble all the time. I think having snooker in my life enabled me to focus and stay out of trouble, if you like. So I have a lot to owe for my dad. So, you know, like you say, that loyalty kicks in, and you know, we kind of started together, and I feel like you want to end it together. And no matter what goes on in between, you still have to be there for each other, and that's important no matter what the circumstances are.
And where did you find that strength from, Ronnie? You know, as you say, a 15-year-old boy having to go through that, who loves his dad and his dad loves him, and he's been so much a part of that journey. Where did that strength come from to carry on?
I think in some ways I've always been a bad loser. I've never liked losing. I've always been competitive. I thrive on that. And I think my dad also helped me kind of, in a way, get myself back on track, because there was a period of time where I kind of lost it a little bit. You know, I was drinking, I was smoking a lot of dope, and, you know, I was just becoming a bit of a nightmare, really. And that's when I was getting in and out, in scrapes, really, and in trouble a lot of the time. And rightly so, you know, a lot of it was my own fault. And I think my dad kind of got into my head and made me realise that, you know, at some point I've got to sort of, like, you know, try and fulfil my potential on a snooker table. And it kind of penny dropped one day, and that was it. And I decided that, you know, now was the time to sort of, like, start acting like a professional. Because at the time I wasn't. I was just messing about, really.
Frankie is someone who has had to take a lot on his shoulders as well.
yeah.
hasn't it? And a lot of that pressure and having to deal with it.
Yeah.
How much were you in control of Frankie? And at what point, because I've interviewed so many authors and they say that there's a point at which the character almost takes over. And that the character starts, and you start almost surprising yourself about where the character's going to go.
Yeah, well, like you say, you know, that wherever Frankie is, there's always going to be trouble. So you kind of have to kind of just go with it sometimes. And, you know, the more and more you get into it, the more and more, you know, things start to develop. And, you know, who knows where Frankie's going to go next? You know, it's an ongoing thing. But one thing about Frankie is he's a survivor. And, you know, he always seems to kind of live on his wits. And, you know, he draws on people that have kind of loyal to him as well. And, you know, and things always seem to turn out okay. And that's always been my experience in life. I have this belief that no matter what's going on in my life, I'll always land on my feet. And I've always believed that. And, you know, because I've kind of been in some scrapes and I thought, how did I get out of that? And I just kind of believe that, you know, I'm quite lucky in that respect. So, you know, Frank is a little bit like that too.
Jack clearly has a self-destruct button.
Yeah.
What about Frankie? Does Frankie have a self-destruct button? I'd imagine Ronnie perhaps in the past had a self-destruct button.
Frankie definitely has a self-destruct button, but there's the kind of thing that where he has to hold it all together. He has this voice of his mum and dad saying, look, no matter what happens, you have to look after Jack. No matter what happens, you know, you have to look after the club and you have to keep things going. So he kind of puts his own life on hold, not because he wants to, just because he feels like he has to. And that's where that's where I always say snooker's kind of saved me in many ways, because it's always kind of made me have to go to bed early. It's made me get up in the morning and have to keep fit, because I know that my competitors are doing the same thing. And I think with Frankie, it's sort of like, you know, holding the club together, and he just wants to do his mum, he just wants to do his dad proud, really. And it's kind of like a thing that was built in for him as a kid. You know, he's brought up in that Soho kind of area, and it's like, you know, you do what you have to do to survive, and, you know, that's it, really. So in many people's eyes, it is kind of like, wow, this is kind of exciting. But in a way, you kind of, when you're brought up in that environment, it just becomes a normal way of life, really.
But even beyond that is, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, that Frankie's relationship to the Ambassador Club, which is the snooker club you're talking about, is like a metaphor for your own relationship with snooker as a game, because you've not always been in love with snooker as a game.
No, I mean, at the moment, I'm loving it. You know, the last 5 years, couldn't have gone any better. And the Ambassador Club was somewhere where I used to practice when I was a kid up Dean Street, and it's somewhere that, you know, I always think that was the early days. But, you know, yeah, I've had my down times with snooker, because obviously I like to win. I like to play the game to a very high standard. And if I'm not playing it to a high standard, I get very hard on myself. And I've had to work on that to kind of not be such a perfectionist, if you like, and just play the game for the fun of it, a bit like I did when I was a kid. So, you know, I'm still learning on the snooker table.
I think you and I just had a similar conversation like this once at an event when you talked about learning to love it again, learning to enjoy it again. And how does the writing and the snooker kind of feed off each other, in the sense that do you need one to make the other thing? You need something else going. I know you've got the running as well.
Yeah, I think I've got to the stage now where the last 2 years I've sort of started to do a little bit more stuff away from the table, and it was a conscious effort to do that. So I do a few exhibitions, you know, I do a lot of stuff in China. I do a bit of punditry work for Eurosport, which is again one of the most unbelievable things, probably the most, you know, that and writing books is the two best things in my life at the moment. You know, I really love to do them. And so snooker is kind of like, you know, I haven't devoted so much time to it in the last 2 years, practice wise and that, but I found I'm enjoying it more. And I think the key for me to play for the next 10 years is to enjoy it. And if I can have periods where I can really focus on my practice and get my game right, then, you know, I think that'll help me to still compete and stay in the game for as long as I can. Because if it was just snooker, I probably wouldn't want to do it for another 10 years. But snooker, as well as doing other things, it gives me that chance to just relax, enjoy it, and go with the flow a little bit more.
They're both very demanding mistresses, though. Being an author and being a world-class snooker player.
A lot of the stuff I do, you know, because I'm travelling a lot. I mean, I don't think people realise the amount of travelling that I do, you know. I mean, between now and Christmas, I'll be going to China 6 times. I'll probably be travelling to Europe 2 or 3 times. So there's a lot of time where I'm on flights, I'm sitting in hotels, I'm just hanging around. And that's the hard time when you're a sportsman, really. And so it offers me an opportunity to write, to put stuff together. And in fact, it helps because, you know, it can be quite lonely being on the road. So having something to take your mind off of just sitting in a room with 4 walls and watching CNN News and BBC News, you know, you can kind of like switch that off and go, okay, I've got 2 or 3 hours to just kind of write and do stuff and come up with plots and ideas and, you know, and put it together.
I mean, being in a snooker club from the age of 10 and being in Soho, which has an energy and there's always people around, have you had to learn to be comfortable with being just with yourself, or is solitude something you've always been comfortable with?
I think playing snooker and playing it to the level I did, I think in a way that kind of gave me confidence as a person. I think, you know, some of my nicest times are when I switch my phone off and I'm in the club and it's like 4 or 5 hours just practicing. I take no calls, no emails, no nothing. It's like I'm uncontactable. And that's kind of like there's a beauty in that as well. And so it's kind of learning to switch on and switch off and kind of just trying to pace yourself through life and just and giving, you know, because snooker's not, I couldn't go and play snooker and be tweeting at the same time. I know some of the young guys do, but for me, it's a serious business. It's about concentrating and getting involved in it. So I devote 4 hours of pure discipline to that. And then when I come off the table, then I switch my phone on, I do a few emails, I do a few of this. And it's kind of like putting everything in little packages, if you like.
That's still doing stuff, though, sitting there on your own. It's interesting because I interviewed an author recently who had wrote a book about conversations with Native Americans, and one of the things a Native American said was about silence, how important silence is to understand the world around you and understand yourself. How are you in that kind of scenario, silence, just you and your own thoughts?
Yeah, I'm all right with it at the moment.
I have,
and a lot of the work I've done with Steve Peters over the last 5 years has helped me differentiate between the good dialogue and the bad dialogue and the one which to go with and the one which not to go with. And sometimes, you know, there's a voice in you that says, don't get up in the morning, don't go running, don't do this, eat that cheeseburger. I'm a lot better at not listening to that voice now. And there was times when that voice used to say, you don't want to be in this snooker tournament. You want to be going home, putting your feet up, chilling out, going for a run through the forest with your mates. And I used to listen to that voice and I wouldn't try as hard to win the match. And I now don't listen to that voice. I know it's complete rubbish, and I'm fully focused on what I have to do, and I feel very good in myself, and it's probably the best period of my life that I've ever had, and I've had some good periods, and I've had some not-so-good periods, so on the whole, life is great.
And unlike someone like Jack in the book, are you always sure and confident that you can't be dragged back to those places?
Listen, anybody can get dragged back to, right. You know, it's... Life can throw up some funny situations, you know, you just don't know what's around the corner. And I think sometimes you just have to sort of take each day as it comes. And, you know, I try and have a lot of gratitude for the simple things in life, you know. And I just think you just have to grab each moment as it comes and be the best person you can possibly be and embrace life as much as you can. And live every day like it's your last in many ways, but hoping that there's another day tomorrow. So, you know, I'm just in a very good place with stuff. And I think you just can't take life for granted. That's what I think.
Well, listen, you sound like you're in an amazing place. And this book is such a good read. I mean, it's like a real page turner. Are you hoping that this makes its way onto television?
Listen, people have said to me, oh, it's going to make a great show, it's great this. Listen, I never wrote this book to make a show or make a TV series. If that happens, fantastic. But for me, the joy is about writing the book, is about trying to get another book out there. And it's about being in the book industry. I said, you know, when working with everyone in the book industry, it kind of like, it's like a big family. and it's like everyone's driven to kind of, you know, it's just such a nice environment to be in. It's not a dog-eat-dog world, which is a bit like what snooker is. So it's, for me, it's a completely different environment, and I've loved every minute of it. And for me, it's just about writing the book. You know, if something comes off the back of it, great. But that was never my intention, and it's not the reason why I'm doing it.
And is it true you've been approached about a film about your own life?
Yeah, yeah. I got a phone call. My agent got a phone call. He said, oh, you know, you're never going to guess. Someone's read an article that you've done in the New Yorker, is it?
Yeah, something? Yeah, the New Yorker.
And he said he'd read it, and he obviously didn't know about snooker, but he said, I want to make a film out of this. So they got in contact with my agent, and, you know, I've just sold my life rights away to a company in America and a company in England. So it's down to them now to whether they want to produce it or not. Good chance it will get produced because they've committed to paying me to do it. But it's out of my hands now. So it's up to them whether they feel like they want to push on with it.
Who's going to play Ronnie O'Sullivan? If you had a choice about the actor who would play you, I guess a 20-year-old you, I guess.
The guy was in Unbroken. What was his name? Do you remember that film, Unbroken?
Jack O'Connell?
Jack O'Connell. That's the one. I've heard he's quite up for playing the part as well.
Oof.
So he's into snooker. I think he played in the play in Sheffield.
Jack O'Connell.
Yeah, he comes from Sheffield. He's already said, like, you know, I'm into snooker. I love, you know, watching, you know, a fan of Ronnie's. And, you know, if I can get that part, I'd love to do it. I don't know how much truth there is in that, but my agent says there's a lot of truth in it. So, you know, if that can happen, that'd be fantastic. And, you know, I love that film Unbroken. So for him to be able to play that part would be fantastic.
Would you step away from the process, or would you want to be involved?
No, I think I'd want to be involved because I think it's quite important that something like this, when it goes out
on set.
Listen, I'm being involved as much as I can, you know, and we've already had that conversation, and the people have said the more you're involved, the better. And obviously, you know, it's something, you know, if you have a bad tournament, you can always repair it with the next one. But if you have a bad film, it's not like they're going to go, oh, we'll put one out next week. So it's important that it's done right. True. And, you know, if you commit to something like this, I think it's only right that you give it the respect it deserves.
On the film of your life, Ronnie, what would you like to get across the most? What would that message that comes from it about you and about your life and the life lessons?
I just think it's just to never give up, to always follow your passion, to never be told that you can't do something. You know, I've always told you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. And for me, I just think, well, I'm going to do it even more now. You know, it's kind of like red rag to a bull. And I don't think, you know, if someone says you can't do something because there's a very good reason why you can't do it, you can go, okay, I can see the logic behind that. But sometimes people put limitations on you based on their own limitations. And I kind of think that if you was to listen to a lot of people, you probably wouldn't even set foot out the door. Whereas me, I just kind of think, no, I just want to take, you know, I just feel like, you know, anything's possible, especially on a snooker table. And like I said to you in the beginning of the interview, I think snooker's gave me a confidence that I probably wouldn't have had if I hadn't played snooker. And I think sometimes, you know, I believe that, you know, I'm my own boss, I make my own rules, and to be successful, you sometimes have to live by them. Whether people agree with them or not, that's another thing. But, you know, you've got to drive that car wherever you want it to go sometimes. And I think if the film come out, it would just be that I was a fella that's kind of stuck to his guns and believed in what he believed in and done it his way in many ways.
Ronnie O'Sullivan there, whose novel, Framed, is out now in paperback. It's now 32 minutes past 3.